ಶಿವ 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 ಶಿರಡಿ ಪುರೀಶ್ವರ ಶಂಭೋ ಶಂಕರ ಸಾಂಬ ಶಿವೋ.
Here Shiva occurs four times. Shiva, the god of dissolution of the cosmos, according to ancient Indian culture and spirituality. During the Shivratri discourse of 1973, Bhagwan elaborated on the name Shiva and said, Shiva means all graciousness, ever auspicious, sarva mangalam. And that is the reason why the epithet Shri, which indicates these qualities, is not added to the name Shiva, Shankara or Ishvara. It is added to the names of the avatars, because avatars are the occasions when the Lord takes on a perishable body for a specific purpose, and they have to be distinguished from other humans by the epithet Shri. But Shiva is eternally gracious, eternally auspicious, mangalam all the time, and that is why Shri is superfluous, and that is why Shiva is Shiva, ever auspicious, Sada Shiva. Moving on, the word Shirdi Purishwara can be split into Shirdi, Puri and Ishwara. Shirdi, of course, refers to the holy land of Shirdi in the state of Maharashtra, where Baba, as Shirdi Sai, lived for 60 years. Puri means place. Now, regarding Ishwara, Swami says the word Ishwara means the divinity that is regarded as the possessor of the infinite and inexhaustible wealth. And what is this wealth? It is the wealth of all kinds, knowledge, virtues, wisdom, health, everything. Ishwara is the embodiment of every form of prosperity, Sakala Aishwarya Sampanna. We know that Shirdi Sai is the first in the trilogy of the Sai avatars, and so many details about this avatar was unknown until Swami as Satya Sai himself revealed this for the first time on September 28, 1990. And that day, incidentally, was the birth anniversary day of Shirdi Sai. Bhagwan revealed that the father of Shirdi Baba was Ganga Bhavadiya and his mother was Devagiri Amma. They were childless for many years and they kept praying to the Lord to bless them. Ganga Bhavadiya used to ply boats for a living. One night when it rained, he told Devagiri Amma he would go and look after the boats and return only in the morning. And after he left, Devagiri Amma had an early dinner and slept, but was soon awakened by a knock on the door. And there was an old man there and he requested her to accommodate him for the night as it was pouring outside. Now Devagiri Amma agreed and allowed him to stay in the inside veranda and went in after bolting the inner door. After a while, she again heard a knock, and when she went to inquire, she found that he was hungry. So she mixed flour and curds and gave it to the old man. There was again another knock after some time, and now when she opened the door, the old man said, "My legs are aching, mother, can you please massage them?" And now Devagiri Amma went inside and she sat in the prayer room and she continued to pray. She prayed to the mother, "Oh mother, why are you testing me like this? How can I do this service? What should I do? How can I refuse to serve him? But how can I do such a thing?" And so going out of the house by the back door, she went searching to see if she could find somebody who could render that kind of service to the old man. But she found no one. And when she returned, crestfallen, suddenly there was another knock on the door, and Devagiri Amma went there, and now she found a lady who said, "Mother, it appears you came to my house and sought some help. I was away at that time. Please let me know what service I should render." And feeling happy that Goddess Parvati had sent the woman in response of her prayers, Devagiri Amma sent the lady to the veranda for serving the old man and closed the door. And now, who do you think the old man and the lady were? They were none other than Lord Shiva and his divine consort, Mother Parvati. They were there to test Devagiri Amma, and now they were very pleased with her devotion. The divine couple now wanted to bless Devagiri Amma, so they again knocked. And when Devagiri Amma opened the door, she could scarcely believe her eyes, because in front of her she saw not that old man and this lady, but Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati. And Goddess Parvati blessed Devagiri Amma, saying, "I grant you a son to maintain the lineage and his daughter for offering in marriage. And Lord Shiva then blessed her, saying, "I am immensely pleased with your devotion. I shall take birth as your third child." And thus it was that Lord Shiva was himself born as Shirdi Sai Baba, the third child of Devagiri Amma and Ganga Bhodiya, on September 28, 1835. So that is the story of Shirdi Sai, who is none other than Shiva himself. Moving on, the word Shambho can be split as Sham, meaning peace or bliss, and Bhu means to cause. So Shambho refers to Lord Shiva as the bestower of peace and bliss. Shankara can be split as Sham and Kara. During the Shivratri discourse of 2002, Swami explained, Sam refers to Chidanandam, eternal bliss, and Atmanandam, bliss of the self, while Kara means one who bestows. Therefore, Shankara is one who confers eternal bliss. And the last word is Samba Shivom. Samba comes from Sa, meaning divine, and Amba means mother. So in this context, Samba refers to goddess Parvati. And the last word, Shivom, is the coming together of Shiva and Om. And Om, as we know, is the primordial sound of creation, and in Lord Shiva's hand is the Damaru, which reverberates with the sound Om. Lord Shiva is the master of all sounds. Nada is sound, and there is no place in this creation where there is no sound. Only we cannot hear some of these with our natural ears, but all creation pulsates with Om. So in this line, Shiva Shiva, Shiva Shiva, Shirdi Purishwara, Sambho Shankara, Samba Shivom, we hail the ever auspicious Lord who incarnated as Shirdi Sai, the one who confers on us lasting peace and bliss, the one who is embedded and who echoes and resounds in every speck of creation. Let's move on to the second line.
Bhavahara Purahara Putta Parteshwara Shambho Shankara Sadashivom.
The first word here is Bhavahara, which can be split into Bhava, which refers to worldly existence, and Hara means to destroy. The second word Purahara comes from Pura, meaning a city, and Hara, as we saw, means to demolish. There is an interesting legend about how Lord Shiva destroyed three demons who were called Tripurasuras. A demon named Taraka was killed by Kartikeya, the divine son of Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati. And so the three sons of this demon performed penance and obtained a boon from Brahma himself, according to which they could move about in three castles or three cities made of iron, silver and gold. And they could only be slain by a single arrow after a period of 1,000 years. So these three brothers created forts in different areas and ruled the world. They harassed the gods and the devas and the good. The devas complained to Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva said, "As long as these three demons pray to me, I cannot destroy them." And so now Lord Vishnu devised a master plan, and this was cleverly enacted. And by this time, what happened was these three demons, who had gone into their evil ways, stopped their prayers to Lord Shiva. Instead, now they wanted everyone to praise them, and they also only started praising themselves. They thought they are invincible. And now, since all their good qualities were lost, Lord Shiva too decided to annihilate them. And the gods decided to help Lord Shiva in this mission, and so the earth became the chariot, Lord Brahma became the charioteer, Lord Vishnu became the arrow, the sun and the moon became the wheels of this chariot, Mount Meru was the bow, and serpent Vasuki was the string in the bow. So all the gods were present in some form in that divine chariot. But fire and the god of death were in the wheel instead of being the arrow. And to rectify this, it is said Lord Ganesha, the son of Lord Shiva, broke the wheel and put fire and god of death in the arrow. And finally, when everything was ready, the devas were proud that only with their help now Lord Shiva was going to destroy the Tripuras. And what actually happened was absolutely something else. Lord Shiva did not use any of them. Lord Shiva simply looked at the demons and smiled. And in that smile, these three cities, the Tripuras, were burned down. The Rudraksha appeared from the three eyes of Lord Shiva during this Tripura Samhara destruction of these three demons. And the Devas realized how foolish it was for them to think that only with their help Lord Shiva can annihilate these demons. One interpretation of this episode is that the three Puras or the three cities signify the three components of bondage: Aham, ego, karma, deeds and their effects, and Maya, illusion. When God showers His grace, all these impurities are burnt. Additionally, the three cities are also interpreted as three bodies: the causal body, Karana Sharira, the subtle body, Sukshma Sharira, and gross body, Stula Sharira. Lord Shiva destroys these three bodies, which represent ignorance. During the Shivratri discourse of 1964, Bhagwan spoke about how Lord Shiva slayed the Tripurasuras and said, "It is said that Shiva laughed when he took a good look at the chariot that was provided for him when he started out to slay the Tripura Asuras, the demons of the three bodies, Stula, Sukshma and Karana, the gross, subtle and causal. Vishnu, the charioteer, was mostly in yogic sleep or yoga nidra. The stable earth was the chariot and the two wheels were the sun and moon, two spears which never revolved in unison. But that laughter of Lord Shiva laid the demons low. There was no more need to proceed against the demons." And Swami says, "How did the evil forces that dwelt in these three bodies die?" And Swami reveals, "They could not exist where there was divine bliss, because they, the demons, were products of grief." That is how beautifully Bhagavan explained this legend. Swami said, "Develop Ananda, develop that bliss, then all these evil impulses and tendencies will just vanish, because they cannot get foothold in your heart." So that is Purahara. Moving on, the third word is Puttaparthi Purishwara. Now this comes from Puttaparthi and Ishwara. Puttaparthi, the little hamlet the Lord chose to be born in as Satya Sai, and today the spiritual epicenter of the universe. And we already know the meaning of Ishwara, Shambhu and Shankara. The sixth word is Sadashivom. This can be split into Sada, meaning always, and Shivom, the eternal, ever-present, all-pervading Lord. So in this line, Bhavahara, Purahara, Puttaparthi, Purishwara, Sambho, Shankara, Sadashivom, we pay our obeisance to the Lord who destroys fear of worldly life, who destroys our ego, the effects of our deeds, and who destroys illusion. He is the Lord of Puttaparthi. He confers bliss on all. He is eternally auspicious, the one who resonates everywhere in the cosmos. Let's move on to the third line.
Shiva 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 Shiradi Purishwara Shambho Shankara Samba Shivom.
Now this is a repeat of the first line of this bhajan. Let me narrate here a fascinating story of one devotee of Shiradi Sai. In 1910, Sundaramma was 13 years old and her husband was working as a station master at Manmad, which is just a few hours from Shiradi. The husband was a devotee of Baba, and so he took her along whenever he went to have darshan of Shiradi Sai. On one occasion, Baba called the husband and gave him a silver coin with his feet embossed on it. And he told the husband, "Worship these feet every day." Many years passed and this man died, and in the 1960s, Sundaramma heard from a friend that Sai Baba had reincarnated in Puttaparthi, but she did not believe this. Still, out of curiosity, she came to see the young Satya Sai, and even after a few days of staying in Prashantinilam, she was not convinced that it was the same Baba. And she remarked one day to one of our friends, "I will never bow down to this Baba. My Lord is Shiradi Sai, and I am going to leave this place." And during this time, one day, Bhagwan quietly walked into Sundaramma's quarters, and Swami asked her, "Sundaramma, is it true that you want to leave this place?" And she replied, "Yes, Swami, I would rather go to Shiradi than stay in this God-forsaken village." She said this and she continued her cooking. her eyes not even meeting Bhagwan's eyes. And Swami then asked, Sundaramma, do you want to see your Shirdi Baba? And she immediately replied, I would love to, but alas, he had taken Samadhi long ago. And then Swami persisted, tell me, do you still want to see your Shirdi Baba? And now she turned back and said, how is that possible? I mean, he is no longer here. And when she turned around fully, she could not believe her eyes, because she saw Shirdi Baba in flesh and blood in exactly the same spot where Satya Sai was standing a minute ago. And now with tears in her eyes, she bowed down at the feet of Bhagwan, and from that day she never left Prashanthi Nilayam. So that is the glory of Shirdi Sai Parthi Sai. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Kailasa chala bala shiva, kalakuta dhara bala shiva.
The first word here is Kailasa chala, and this comes from Kailasa and Achala. Kailasa refers to the holy mount Kailasa, which is considered the abode of Lord Shiva, and Achala means steady and unmoving. Once Baba asked a person by the name of Kailasam what his name meant, and this person was taken aback. He didn't know an immediate answer. He struggled for a whole week, and later Bhagwan himself explained to him and said, Kailasam signifies the cleanest, purest and flawless crystal. It is also a symbol of the purest, untainted heart. Lord Shiva chose Kailasam as his celestial residence because he resides in a pure heart. And during the Shivratri discourse of 1985, Baba further said, it is said that Shiva lies in Kailasa, but where is Kailasa? Kailasa is your own joy, your own bliss. It means that Shiva lives in the Kailasa of delight. If we can develop that sense of joy and delight in our mind, that itself is Kailasa. And how can one get this joy? It comes when we develop purity and steadiness and sacredness. Then the heart becomes filled with peace and bliss. And Swami says, then your heart itself will be Kailasa, and Shiva will be there in the sanctum sanctorum of your heart, within the temple which is your body. Giving another interpretation during the Shivratri discourse of 2005, Swami said, where is Kailasa? It is only when you contemplate on him in the depth of silence that you can visualize Lord Ishvara in Kailasa. Therefore, one has to practice mauna or silence, and that silence implies total stillness of thought and word. So many beautiful meanings of what truly Kailasa Chala means. And everything is so profound. The second word is Bala, meaning child, and this refers to the childlike nature of the Lord. The childlike purity, the childlike innocence, the childlike playfulness, the childlike humility. Childlike divinity. And those who have seen Swami at close quarters can easily relate to this. How many times have we seen Swami so inquisitively looking at a new gadget, a new camera, asking so many questions about what it can do, what are its operations and so on, and the very next moment waving his hand and creating a replica of the same thing. That is the beautiful childlike Lord. In fact, when a devotee offered a car to Bhagwan in the 80s, Swami immediately brought that to the primary school to show it to all the kids, and he allowed them to play with it. That was the childlike joy that we see in Bhagwan. So that is Bala Shiva Sai. The other new word in this line is Kala Kuta Dhara, coming from Kala Kuta and Dhara, which means to hold. According to a legend in ancient Indian culture, Kala Kuta is the name of the dangerous poison that came up during the churning of the ocean of milk. And in order to save the whole universe, Lord Shiva consumed this poison. Mother Parvati pressed her hand on Lord Shiva's throat so that the poison stayed there and did not proceed down further. And that is why Lord Shiva is always portrayed as having a blue throat. So in this line, Kailasa Chala Bala Shiva Kala Kuta Dhara Bala Shiva, we adore the one who shines brilliantly in a childlike pure heart. He is the one who drank up the deadly Kala Kuta poison to save entire humanity, the one who continues to undertake several pains only for the welfare of you and me. Let's now move on to the last line.
Keli lala sabala shiva, leela tandava bala shiva.
Here the first word is Keli Lalasa, which can be split into Keli and Lalasa. Keli means sport and Lalasa means one who desires. So Keli Lalasa refers to Lord Shiva who revels in divine sport, the divine sport of creation and dissolution at one level, and at the avataric level we have seen Swami who loved to have fun with students, with his devotees, how he used to allow devotees to throw him up in the air on a swing tied to a tree, how he used to mischievously play with his dear ones, sometimes confusing them, sometimes faking to reprimand them, only to have a hearty laugh later. And this, there was always very profound lessons. So that is Keli Lalasa. And the next is Leela Tandava. Leela is again divine sport. And the word Tandava refers to the dance that Lord Shiva performs. Lord Shiva is that cosmic dancer, and it is this dance that goes in every particle of this universe, inside every atom, inside every nucleus, the dance of the protons, the electrons and what not, a mystery one can never fathom, and it is this mystery that makes everything move in this creation. So in this line, Keli Lalasa Bala Shiva, Leela Tandava Bala Shiva, we adore the childlike pure Lord who delights in sports and who is the cosmic orchestrator of everything in the universe. So with that, dear listeners, we have made some attempt to understand the meaning of every word of this bhajan. And now let us listen to this complete version of this bhajan as it is sung in the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir by the students of Bhagwan's University.